from where she was sitting at the back of the church. Thank you, Pat.
The reading this morning is from the second book of Kings, chapter 1. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent a messenger saying to them, "Go and consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messenger of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So Elijah went. When the messenger returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you come back?' 'A man came to meet us,' they replied. And he said to us, 'Go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' The king asked them, 'What kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this?' They replied, 'He had a garment of hair and had a leather belt round his waist.' The king said, 'That was Elijah the Tishbite.' Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'Man of God, the king says, come down.' Elijah answered the captain, 'If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then the fire fell down from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once.' 'If I am a man of God,' Elijah replied, 'may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. The third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah. 'Man of God,' he begged, 'please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life.' The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, 'This is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Joram succeeded him as king in the second year of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As for all the other events of Ahaziah's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Israel? Thanks be to God for this, his holy word.
Thanks, Claire, and thanks especially for reminding us of COP26, which is a big thing coming up, isn't it? And I think we're still waiting to see if China turns up. It would be really good if they did, so that might be something in particular to pray about. Hands up anyone who likes to be in control. Or is it just me? See, there's lots of us, aren't there? We like to be very often sorted. We like to know what it is that we are going to be doing. And I stand before you this morning as someone who doesn't really know what I'm going to be doing or saying this morning. I've got some ideas, but you know, it's been a good week, actually. But I started ages ago. I chose the title of the sermon about about where to find help. And I started looking at it on Monday morning before heading off to the conference I mentioned on Monday afternoon. I came back quite refreshed Wednesday afternoon, and that was good. Went back to it Thursday, went back to it Friday, and nothing has really been coming together. And I thought to myself, this is kind of ironic, really, when one of the readings is, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Now, sometimes when this happens, I, in fact, very often on a Sunday morning, I get up early, just because I wake up early anyway. This morning, I got up at 4:30. And so I did. I was at my desk very shortly after that with a cup of tea, and nothing came, really. And I got to the point where I thought, do you know, I'm going to stop stressing about this. Because, you know, I've read around the reading in 2 Kings 1. I've looked at Psalm 121 and I know it well. Let's just see what happens when it comes to the morning. So that is what I am going to do. So, I apologize if it's rubbish, but there are lots of kind of interesting things, and I just hope and pray that something here will be helpful to you. So being in control is something that we, many of us, like to be. We like to be organized. We like to be prepared. We like to be ready. And that includes me. I'm not a control freak, but I do like to be prepared. So it takes me out of my comfort zone here. But we find ourselves this morning looking at two characters in particular. On the one hand, there is Ahaziah. Now, Ahaziah is the son of Ahab, and you may remember from previous weeks, our explorations in 1 Kings, that Ahab is not a particularly good king of Israel. In fact, he's a pretty bad king of Israel. He marries a pagan wife, a Jezebel, who kind of turns him away from the God of Israel to worship Baal or Baal, call it what you will, one of those pagan gods of the land in which they find themselves, those gods that were already there when Israel came back after their wanderings through the wilderness, having escaped from Egypt many years before. So Ahaziah is son of Ahab. And it's interesting, actually, just to think about the name Ahaziah for a moment. And many of us will know what the meanings of our particular names are. And hopefully the meaning of your name is a positive one. I know that mine's a bit of a scary one, actually. Timotheos means, in the Greek, it means one who honors God. And that is a bit scary, isn't it, to live up to. Ahaziah's name, despite the fact that his father, King Ahab, had turned away from the God of Israel, Ahaziah's name means the Lord possesses. Or the Lord owns. Now that's kind of true of all of us in one way or another, isn't it? That the Lord made us, the Lord owns us, but he has given us the lives that we have. He's given us those lives to make decisions, to exercise free will. And sometimes that causes us to turn towards God, and at other times it causes us to turn away from God. Ahaziah. The Lord owns. It is a name to live up to. But I think it's fair to say that whilst the Lord owns Ahaziah, Ahaziah does not really own the Lord, the God of Israel. We don't know details of this, but somehow or other Ahaziah is up, possibly on the roof or in an upper room of his house or palace, whatever kind of place it is. He's fallen through the lattice. He has clearly fallen badly. He has injured himself badly. And as he's lying there on his sick bed, he's wondering whether his sick bed is going to become his deathbed. And he sends out messages saying to them, go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. So we can see where his thoughts are turned at this point. not towards the God of Israel, the God of his forefathers, but towards Baal-zebub. I so wanted Ahaziah really to say, Mamma mia, mamma mia, mamma mia, let me go. Baal-zebub has a devil for a son. Because maybe that is what he is. But he doesn't have the voice of Freddie Mercury, and he says simply those words. And off go the messengers. One of the things that we don't get from the text is exactly where the messengers are going. But apparently there was a place north of the area around Carmel where we believe them to be. There is an area in the north which was 50, 55 miles away. A place where there was an oracle. Someone who, if you like, divined or was said to divine the spirit, divine what Baal was saying, this pagan god. Something, incidentally, which is specifically forbidden to the people of Israel, to consult oracles. Prophets, that's different. They speak on behalf of God. Oracles flatter to deceive. So it's set to be quite a long journey. It's not going to be a quick journey there and back in a few hours or even in a day. It's probably going to be a week's worth of walking to get there and back and find out whether Ahaziah is going to die or not. But even as the messengers are going, the angel of the Lord speaks to Elijah, this prophet of God, and says, go and meet the messengers. Go and meet them. And ask them, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, this is what the Lord says, you will not leave the bed you are lying on, you will certainly die. So Elijah went, he met the messengers, and he gave them his message, and they took it back to the king. You can imagine they're a bit scared of doing that, can't you? Because on the one hand, they were back far more quickly, so he knows that they haven't gone to the place they were meant to go. And on the other hand, they are also bringing a message which is not a good message for Ahaziah to hear. Ahaziah questions them. He asks them about the man. He discerns that it is Isaiah from the description that they give of him. Who else is wearing a garment of hair with a leather belt around their waist? This is clearly Elijah. And the king sends them back to Elijah. Clearly, he is sending a company of people, of men, who are charged with the task of taking Elijah captive, of bringing him back to the king to perhaps an uncertain future. As you were reading that reading, Pat, and it talked of fire falling from heaven, it struck me there are about 50 of us here. Did you notice that? Around about 50 of us here. Quite scary, really. I kind of hope a different sort of fire will fall, has fallen this morning. But it just made me smile a little bit. As we think about that question that comes through Elijah, I wonder if we try to pursue places of help, which are more difficult than they need to be, when in actual fact, the answer is with us all the time. When in actual fact, the person that we consult is there all of the time. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Says Elijah to the messengers. Says Elijah ultimately to Ahaziah. Is that the reason? And with those words, really, Elijah is just reminding Ahaziah, he's reminding him that he is not following the God of his people. He is not following the God of his forefathers. He is not following the God that has proved to be the Lord and God of all, the creator of all that is. Do we try and look in other places than the Lord for help in our problems, in our situations? I've known people who have, through my now quite a lot of years really, both in ministry as the clergyman that I am, but before that as well, I've known people that have sought help in inappropriate places. A couple of young men, I remember, who were really messed up through messing around, or so they thought, with an Ouija board. And it really just totally messed them up. Did not give them answers that they were seeking, it just gave them fear that they didn't want. Sometimes we look in inappropriate places, don't we? If you go into any bookstore today, Waterstones, Smith's, I guess, any of those, and you look for the religion section, if you like, the Christianity section, it's kind of quite hard to find. But it usually forms a little part of a much bigger section on self-help. Yeah, have you been looking? Have you been looking for Bibles in any of those shops? You probably don't need to, do you? But just maybe, if you're in a bookshop another time, just go and have a look and have a laugh, perhaps, at some of the titles of self-help that appear on the shelves. It's easy to think that self-help is the answer, isn't it? And sometimes we can help ourselves. That phrase goes, the Lord helps those who help themselves. But actually, we need to remember that ultimately, it is the Lord. We need to lift our eyes to Him, to lift our eyes to the hills, beyond the hills, above the hills, to the one who created those hills, to receive His help. A second time, of course, a posse of men go back to seek out Elijah. They say the same as the first lot. They kind of flatter him, really, initially. They say, man of God, come down. And Elijah says, if I am a man of God, and he's putting them to the test, really, if I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven, consume you and your 50 men. And so it falls again. Now, if Ahaziah had thought about this, if the men who went had thought about this, they might have thought back to the reading we looked at a few weeks ago, when Elijah did battle with the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Do you remember that? Who wins? Well, yeah, who wins? God, yeah. I mean, Elijah couldn't have done it without God, could he? But the prophets of Baal discover that their God is nothing. Elijah, of course, as we heard, went through his own angst, didn't he? His own depression immediately after this. But God met with him once again and sent him back. So by the time we get towards the end of Elijah's ministry as a prophet in 2 Kings chapter 1, he's got through those things. He is confident in his Lord, confident to bring the message that he needs to bring. Because he knows that the Lord God is the one who has helped him. But of course, back on Carmel, fire has fallen. Here, fire falls again on those men who go. Let me take us back to the one whom Ahaziah is consulting, Baal-zebub. There's something in that name as well. Ahaziah, the Lord possesses. What about Baal-zebub? Well, first of all, he would normally be known as Baal-zebul. And there's something in the change here. Baal-zebul actually means Lord of the high places. Places such as Mount Carmel. And on these high places, the Canaanites tended to establish altars, tend to do quite unsavory things there as well, including ritual sacrifice of children. A bit scary, isn't it? Baal-zebul, Lord of the high places, may even have been that Mount Carmel was one of those high places, but Elijah has won a famous victory there. But here, the writer of 2 Kings refers to him as Beelzebub, or Baal-zebub, Beelzebub, call it what you will. That means, That's an insult, actually, from the writer. It means Lord of the Dung, or other words for dung that you might think of, or Lord of the Flies. Those of us who read William Golding's book for GCSE, O-level, whatever, suddenly think, Lord of the Flies, Beelzebub. That's what it means. That's what it was. And effectively, he is saying, God of nothing. God of nothing. God that can easily be conquered. Eventually, a third posse go along to see Elijah. This time, the captain is a little bit more circumspect. He knows what has happened to the previous two posses of 50 men. 100 men now have lost their lives. He is more humble. Man of God, he calls him again, but says, respect me, respect my life and the lives of these men. Fire has fallen. He believes that Elijah is a prophet of the Lord God, I think. He knows what can happen. Now have respect for my life. And this time, Elijah knows that the time is right to go down with him, to not be afraid. And he goes. And the message is the same, isn't it, actually? It's no better. It's just that Ahaziah gets the message in person. But I want to just turn this around. What might have happened if instead of going to Beelzebub, Ahaziah had gone to the Lord? What might have happened? Actually, I'm going to ask you what might have happened. What do you think might have happened? He might have been healed, yeah. So the God of all, the God of Israel, is known for his healing power, but the God of the Philistines, as he's called elsewhere, Baal, is not known for that. Anything else might have happened? Might have been healed?
Might not.
Sheila's bringing us back down to earth there. This is true. And there are unanswered questions, aren't there, sometimes, that we ask the Lord for help, and it doesn't seem to come necessarily in the way in which we ask it. Anything else you think might? Ooh, all those men, I think you're absolutely right there, Rosie. So there would have been lives saved because there are consequences, aren't there? And I know it seems a bit gory, and this is us looking back into the Old Testament times where, you know, God is often said to do these kind of what seem like horrific things, but they're stories telling of how there are consequences of finding help in the wrong place. Anyone else like to contribute? Okay. If he does go to the Lord, you mean?
Yeah.
And that could be... We do indeed. Yeah, that's true. I'm just thinking about that. It's a strange thing that, you know, how things come about. Let's just think about Psalm 121 for a moment. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? We find that Elijah is, in fact, up on a hill, we're told, when they go and seek him out. Some biblical scholars say that actually it could well be that Elijah has gone back to Mount Carmel, because hill and mountain are pretty much synonymous. As I discover when Rosie's version says, lift my eyes to the hills, and mine says, lift my eyes to the mountains, it proves it in Psalm 121, really. So it could well be that Elijah has done that and lifted his eyes to the hills. But at the end of this psalm, after various words about not letting your foot slip, the Lord watching over you, the Lord being your shade, etc., I spotted this morning that one of my friends, Facebook friends that is, had posted a photo of her mum, who had just passed away. And the words that she posted underneath that photo were, "The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." I thought, what a good reminder that from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives, the Lord is watching over us. But for people of faith, people who have come to know the Lord through Jesus Christ, I believe, looking back on those verses from our New Testament perspective, the Lord watches over our coming and going, not just in our earthly lives, but he gives us a heavenly life as well. And we can find help in him. So even the person who remains on their deathbed, and that becomes their deathbed, can know the Lord's help if they turn to him. So Ahaziah dies anyway, but it could have been so different, couldn't it? Could have been so different. I hope there's something useful in what I've said this morning to you. Something for you to think about. But I think that probably I should quit while I'm ahead, or at least not too far behind. But I want to read that psalm again, Psalm 121. And we've got some songs coming up which I hope will help us to find God's help as we sing those songs. The Message paraphrase puts it this way: "I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and mountains." Let me just say, as I look at that, I sometimes think of that verse. Many of us face mountains, don't we? Some of us have climbed literal mountains. What are the mountains, the obstacles, vast obstacles in your life at this time? Sometimes we can be so close to them, or they are so big, that we can't really see anything else. Isn't that right? It's like our problems. We can be so close that we can't see anything else. They dominate us. But this psalm just reminds us to lift our eyes above the mountains to the Lord God, who can move mountains, as we sang earlier, and to the reminder that he is Lord and God of all. And so the psalm goes on: "He won't let you stumble. Your guardian God won't fall asleep, not on your life. Israel's guardian will never doze or sleep." Do you remember how Elijah sort of mocked the prophets of Baal because their God wasn't answering? Perhaps he's fallen asleep or gone to the toilet, it says, really, in that story. Our God, never off duty. God's your guardian right at your side to protect you, shielding you from sunstroke, sheltering you from moonstroke. God guards you from every evil. He guards your very life. He guards you when you leave and when you return. He guards you now. He guards you always. Amen.